Let me share a word with you here briefly, just a continuation of prayer and what we've been sharing about in the theme of prayer. I feel like I've gone about this backwards. We started talking about prayer, which is an obsession with us. We really, really, really are convinced and convicted about prayer from the Scripture, from history of revival, and from our own lives. And we don't want to make it a legalistic thing. We believe the prayer, Isaiah 56, he says, there will be joy in the house of prayer. But I want to talk today about you developing a personal, private history with the Lord. As a shepherd, I care for you. I care for your life and your sustenance. And I really, really want you to be able to walk in green pastures in this life. And often the body of Christ can be like sheep that have gone astray and are feeding and trying to feed in desert lands. They can be like an army that's actually in the war but won't take the supply lines. It could be like the Israelites where manna would fall fresh every day, but they wouldn't have the courage or the heart to go out and gather the food, and thus they would be anemic and grow weak. It is God's heart to have a relationship with you. It is God's heart to do more than teach you theology, more than to teach you how to be committed to a place. Really, revival begins with us privately with the Lord. Revival begins when a people begin to meet with the Lord face to face in an organic way. It changes their life, then it begins to affect their marriages and family, and then it spills out into their neighborhoods. And I believe the beginning source of all things is you alone with the Lord. And I want to share with you this morning just some encouragements from the life of Jesus and some practical things about this. Now, I know immediately people may start feeling guilt. Dadgummit, I should spend more time with God. I'm such a dummy that I don't do that and that I haven't done that. And I don't read my Bible more. I don't pray enough. And you start feeling shame and you start feeling guilt. Anybody in here start feeling that when I start talking about this subject? I know you. Now, worse, maybe some people are like, I don't care, get through this sermon, I'm going to get to my Father's Day lunch. Okay? Well, I'm going to try to wake you up. Watch. Wake up! You ready? Okay, good. You're there. Now listen. You know that there's this gnawing kind of stir in you. The Holy Spirit in you, I want to encourage you, the Holy Spirit in you is beckoning for the Father's heart. The Father's heart's beckoning for the Spirit. You have been unwittingly drawn into the greatest love affair in the universe. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, and the Holy Spirit is jealous and zealous for the Son. You don't really have to work up a whole bunch of affection. God loves Himself. He loves Himself, He loves you, and He's working in you and enabling you to get in this healthy place. And what we want to do is teach you how to be with the Lord. Some people are like, where do I even start? How do I do this? Well, first, let me lay the groundwork. Our greatest example of the greatest man that ever lived was the man Christ Jesus. So in Luke chapter 5, just a couple passages I want you to kind of lay your eyes on and let them cook in you. In Luke chapter 5, verse 15, 16, Jesus is in the beginning of the heart of the heat of his ministry. And it says, yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often, do you see the word often? He often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Now, remember this about Christ. John 5:19 says and tells us, Jesus wasn't worried about trying to be a Messiah. Jesus said, I only do, can you help me with this verse? I only do what I see the Father doing. Jesus is having a relationship that's then manifesting a ministry. Did you hear that? He's having a relationship that then manifests and overflows into a ministry. He's not got the 17 things a Messiah ought to do, and that day he goes out with his checklist, okay? It's not an organization. It's an organic relationship. He's having a relationship with his Father. He is the Son of God without sin. And he himself felt the need, felt the desire, and the compulsion, it says here, to often go away to lonely places and to pray. Wouldn't you love to have the DVD of some of those prayer meetings? Word in flesh, out in Galilee, getting away from everybody, I don't know, around some weeds at the edge of a sea somewhere. What'd he do? What did he say? Did he moan? Did he groan? Did he pray out loud? Did he raise his hands? Did he bow? Did he lay down? I don't know. And I think it's kind of cool that we don't know, because there's radical freedom in this. What we do know is that Jesus' top priority is relationship with his Father. He's the Son of God and God's amazing resource, yet he went often away to lonely places to pray. As we march through Luke chapter 6, verse 12, says, one of those days Jesus went up to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. The Son of God spent the night praying to God, and when he comes down, he's choosing the 12 apostles and all those. Go into Luke chapter 9, verse 28, 29. About 8 days after Jesus had said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as the flashes of lightning. There's a prayer meeting. Is that a prayer meeting? Son of God on the mountain, he's praying and he begins to shine. He begins, man. Now I want you to remember this. He's a man. He's laid down the rights of his deity, Philippians chapter 2. He's doing all things as a man. And he's up interceding. One of those often times he's alone with the Lord. He's praying, and then he begins to change in appearance. And you have the Mount of Transfiguration time. That's amazing. Luke 11, verse 1, shows that Jesus often not only went to lonely places, but he would pray while the disciples were kind of watching him, which would have been awesome. Verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I mean, what other response would you have after watching the Son of God pray and have this organic living relationship with the Father? It would explode out of you. I've prayed, but I've never done that. I've prayed, but I've never touched that place. And Jesus begins to give them some amazing, hot fire, cool teaching in Luke 11 about prayer. In Luke 18, verse 1, all through this gospel, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and that they should never give up. So what we see all the way, John chapter 17, at the end of his ministry, we get a long prayer of Jesus. We see him praying from A to Z. I believe his number one priority was to be with his Father. Secondly, it was to be with his disciples. Thirdly, it was to minister the kingdom to the lost and to the broken. That was the divine priority for him. Last week, and I did, for all those that were worried, Amy has forgiven me, and she has hung out with me. I got Amy up here. She sat down with me. We sat down, and we modeled the non-mystic prayer meeting between a husband and wife. Husbands, pray with your wives. And all the men say? It didn't sound even like a majority there. That's all right. No legalism. We sat down, and I said the phrase, I said, before I get to that moment with Amy, and I don't do this because I'm a preacher, I do it because I'm a believer. Before I get to that moment with my wife and we pray, I go and I'm alone with God. I'm alone with him so that I have that divine interchange, that interaction, the words in me, and I can come to give with her, give to her, and to partner with her. So I'm not coming to try to draw from her something that I should be getting from my God. So the divine priority is that you meet alone with the Lord first. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, if we claim to live in him, we must walk as he did. So what we have is Galatians 2:20. Help me that. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but what happens? Christ lives in me. The model of what Jesus is doing is in your Gospels. The very Jesus that's in these Gospels, all right, that's the one that's living in you. You don't get a different Jesus. He didn't change and get in a different mood. You have him via the Holy Spirit, and there's the same kind of motives and motions going on. You have in your heart a pinging to be alone with the Father. You have that because he desires to do that. He desires for you to have that private history, not because it makes you a better Christian, but because it's your lifeline. It's your lifeline of union with the Lord, and we want to encourage you around this. The Old Testament is full of guys, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, Daniel, all these guys, we have history, written history, of how they went away and met with the Lord alone. Many of them will say their central passion is just to be with their God. So what we want to deal with here is, I obviously want to stir up in you, everybody listening to me in the back, I want to stir up in you a passion to cultivate a desire for you to be with God alone. Honestly, I have a hard time listening to people talk about theology when I know they don't meet with their God. Everybody listen to what I said. That's judgmental Sam. You listen? I have a hard time. The guys who tell me, I know this, I know that, I got this, I got... The people that turn me on, should I say that? Spiritually, stir my heart are people who come out with the fragrance, the smoke of an experience with their God. I don't care if it's tongues or it was they meditated or whatever. They come out of the inner chamber with fresh bread. And then I smell, that's different. I just met with five guys that told me all the right things about theology. They know about their God, but you know your God. Did that make sense? Oh, do not waste your life just knowing about your God. You can know him. And the only way you know him, the only way I know Amy Redhead McVeigh is I have to spend time with her. Now, Joe could have given me the resume. Here's who she is. Here's what she is. Here's the good. Here's the bad. Here's the ugly. And I've heard a few of those things from Joe. I could have got all that information and just say, well, I know Amy. I don't know Amy. I don't know Amy till Amy and I are eye to eye, face to face, loving, fighting, forgiving, blessing, encouraging, spending time, hearing the nuances of her voice, the nuances of her face, listening to her. I don't know her or have integrity to say I know her until I spend time with her. If you would agree, say amen. It's exactly the same with your God. I'm glad you know a bunch of stuff about him, but good luck with that giving you power to overcome in life, power to overcome depression, power to conquer the enemy. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? I don't know if you remember that. There were some guys who learned how to cast out demons. They saw Paul doing it, saw some people doing it. They went and got a demoniac and started trying to cast the demon out. Do you remember what happened? The demon-eyed guy says, they were saying, in the name of Jesus of whom Paul preaches, come out of him, demon. The demon looks at them and says, Jesus I know, Paul I know. I don't know you. They went forward and, ripped these guys apart. They were beaten to tar, ran off with their clothes torn. Listen to the words. I know Jesus. I know Paul. I don't know you. You want to strike terror in the heart of the enemy, you got to know your God. Those who know their God do great exploits. The greatest fascination in the way that I think this life is not boring, because by the way, I think this life is boring. I think Solomon was right. He tasted everything under heaven, everything, and said, meaningless, meaningless. Maybe you've not drunk enough of money, sex, power, drugs, all that to get it, but I tell you, in the end, it's meaningless. The only thing that means anything is the heart of God and the Spirit of God. At the transition of the ages, there will be a baptism of fire of all things, and you're going to get it. But I just want to encourage you to preemptively get it. Right now, what you get is the tree of life in the person of Christ. And you get that by faith, and you're born again, and could be born again in these corporate meetings. But, my, you have this opportunity to get alone with your God, to have a face-to-face time with him, and to begin to develop a personal history where you know him. This is what empowers the Word of God in our life. I do not encourage legalistic, disciplined, just reading of the Bible. If you're going to read the Bible, this is a living book. And I never read this book. I don't just go get it to get sermons every day. Watch, let's get personal. Yeah, let me just get this. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Does everybody get that? Amen? Okay, so what I tell you, I don't need you to love me or think better of me to get me into heaven. But I'm going to share some personal things. Every day of my life, for the last 31 years since I was born again, I have been in the Word of God. I have had an unbroken relationship with the Scriptures. I've not been to seminary. This may scare some of you. I have a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology. Sorry. And I'm not saying that good or bad or ugly. It's just what it is. I have an unbroken relationship with the Scriptures. Do you know why I did that? I did it purely from hunger. Purely from hunger. No one told me I had to do it. No one was on me. My mom, dad, I'm so glad we were inconsistent with church in a way, because it's part of my testimony. We were in, we were out, whatever. But every day I'm trying to grab this. Because when I would do it, something happened in the grace of God where I felt the heat like a bonfire come up off the page. and it would just stir my heart. And I would think about it and think about the things of the Lord, because it was a living relationship of eating and drinking and living the Word. I didn't get it so I'd know how to live a better Christian life. I didn't do it so I could preach better. I know so many verses, it's crazy, in my brain, and I've never tried to memorize anything. Do you know why I know it? Why do I know it? I've read it a billion times, then I pray it back to the Lord, then I commune with it, and it soaks into me. How could I not know the Scriptures? How could I not know? Look at me, everybody. I'm testifying before you as a 41-year-old man. And I hate it because my testimony is hurt because I'm a preacher. You're all thinking, yeah, you're a preacher. That's what you do. I believe every believer should have a living relationship with the Word of God. Everybody. Pre me being a preacher, I had a relationship with the Word of God. And if you're not in it, you're not thrilled by it, you're not excited, it's not because it's not living and vibrant. It's because you don't know your God. And I love you enough to tell you that. So look, you get to repent. I repent. I don't get it. Your word will last forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. Money, things, all that, going to burn and go away. But your word is more delightful than all things. And you begin to believe and you begin to confess. And then you go and you get away. And here's how I do it. Watch. It's so dynamic. I'm in my underwear, in my pajamas, whatever I'm in. Picture that, if you will. No, sorry. Here I am. I got the Bible. I don't know if you see, there's little check marks by every chapter. Check, check, check. I start and I go, Holy Spirit, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Word of God. Let this Word leap up into my heart and stir me. I don't yell it that loud. I'm yelling it that loud because you're here. I'm usually gurgling it out, praying it, you know, with my hair messed up. But I'll say, oh, Holy Spirit, I don't want to read this with my natural mind. I want to have a living relationship. Jesus, you're the Word, the living Word, and thank you that I have the Word. I'm sorry. Did I say that I like the Bible? I really, really, really like the Bible. I'm being overwhelmed right now with affection in my heart. I have a love affair with the Word of God. I really like the Bible. Hey, JR, I love the Bible. I'm not performing. I'm right now I'm having a surge of joy because I love the Scriptures. I can't wait till today. I'm going to get a little bit of time, and I'm going to spend this alone without you people around. And I'm going to find something fresh and fiery from the Scriptures. It'll be mine. It'll be mine. I'm not kidding. I just love the Word of God. I love the Scriptures. I don't have to come up with a sermon next week. I'm going to have a relationship with Jesus and His Word, and then I'm going to come here and puke out on you people some revelation I got. I'm going to do a puking class. We've got multiple guys and young ones that are called to the ministry. I don't want them to go waste their time intellectually arguing about who wrote the book of Hebrews. Stop it. Is it the Word of God? Is it not the Word of God? Stop it. Meet your God. Come to Shiloh, to Bethel, and begin to have a face-to-face relationship with Him. Man, I'm telling you, I really, really, really like the Scriptures. So would you turn your Bibles? Watch, I'm going to show you a hot fire coal, a sweet little taste of honey. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Part of my testimony is how insanely undisciplined I am in most everything in my life. So I just share that to say it's completely a work of grace. And because by the grace of God, you know, He produced hunger in my heart. And He can do it in everybody in this room. I'm the worst of the worst. I love myself more than anybody in this room. I think I'm the worst self-worshipper in this room. I dream of fame, pleasure, money, all the ways that I'm right and everybody's wrong. I do. I think that really the best plan for planet Earth was for me to be king. Wouldn't that work out great? I love it when people do what I say. I'm confessing the darkness of my heart. I deal with that all the time. I deal with greed, lust, pride, arrogance. Right now in this pulpit, I'm having to deal with it. I deal with the mixture of humanity, fear, anxiety, worry, rudeness, impatience. Oh, I hate them. But in the middle of all that, by the grace of God, God keeps sticking the sword of his word in my life and dividing me. And the kingdom of God is growing within me. Not because I read so much Bible, because I'm getting to know my God. I meet with my Father and we commune. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it says, may the grace, man, Paul can say goodbye. Wow. He can say hi and goodbye like nobody. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Do you see your triune God there? I want to empower you with what happens for you in your time alone with the Lord. The specifics of how you do it are not as important as you getting the value and the principles of what's happening. What we have here is we got the grace of the Lord Jesus, which is the free, unmerited, unbelievable amount of glorious things that God's given us. They're all in his Son. He gives you nothing outside his Son. Jesus is the realm of grace. May the love of God, the love of the Father that gives you that grace, and may the, what do you have word there? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, or the communion, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Your time with the Lord is really made up, and your time privately is made up around this issue. You receiving the love of God distributed to you via the grace in Jesus, unpacking the glory of all he is by the presence of who? The presence of who? The Holy Spirit. Believer, where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you. He lives, he moves, he's a person. And so, let me get this to you. You all need to be loved. You all need the expression and the major ministry of love in your life. From women to children to men who are strong in here, you need the love of God. Perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love in us completes us in every way. Really, what I think these times are like, I don't come to primarily learn. I get alone and commune with the Word and pray so that I can begin to receive again afresh the love of God in my life. Who in here likes being loved? Do you like it? Do you like it? Do you like it? Do you like it? Gowan, you all right, buddy? Dude, you're the man. Seriously, I was thinking about you this week, and my heart was delighted. I was bragging to somebody about you. Honestly, you're a delight in my life. I mean, I know what the deal is. It's your personality. It's the flavor of who you are, da-da-da-da-da. I really love you, man. I think you're a great guy. You all right? Does that make you feel good, or does that make you feel bad? Yeah, he's good. I really do. I was thinking about him this week. Oh, Brock, sweet Brock. Love, we're made to love. God is love. You receive that love. You get that. We go away to receive the love of the Father on us. If you're not receiving the love and the affirmation of God, I bet you're turning into a bitter religious person. God loves you beyond anything you can imagine. You need that love to touch the deep recesses of your heart. Knowing the love of God will give you faith for your finances. Knowing the love of God will give you faith for all your relationships and give you wisdom for all you do. I get in there, and I'm not the primary lover. I'm the woman in the relationship. Everybody with me? Am I? I got a spirit of sonship, and I show up with my papa, but when we have the relationship, I'm the woman. What does that mean? Everyone's looking at me. I'm the bride, and he's the stimulator. He's the one that moves and engages me. I love because he first loved me. So I show up and begin to let him. I'm like, man, Lord, my heart's cold. I'm not stirred up. You know what a great remedy for that is? Go get in your little holy chair. Get your Bible. Where's it at? Sit down. Watch. Here's a great way. Here's a devotion time. You ready to go through it? Go to Romans chapter 5. We don't have this verse. You got to go. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's just say I'm there in my regimen of reading. I'm reading along. Holy Spirit, show me something in there. Look, what am I doing? Right? This is me. I'm rocking. I've got a rock. Got issues. I'm reading along, and I'm reading the Lord. Look at verse 5. Just say, pretending I start at verse 1, 5. And the hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. Now listen, I've got an option with this. Everybody watching? Look at me. This is a weird moment in the service, I know. I'm reading this and I have a couple options. I can go, ooh, I just learned something. The Holy Spirit's been poured out in my heart because he loves me. And oh, wow, I know that. I'm going to go tell everybody. God's poured out his love in my heart. Or I could begin to pray this back and begin to experience the reality of it. Everybody with me? What this verse says, Father, what your word says here is that you poured out your love. You shed it abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Right now, I just want to receive your love. Men, look at me, men. Men, you looking at me? In the back. Me alone. I'm not glowing. My clothes aren't changing. I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm not flying. I'm not whatever. What I'm doing, I'm taking the truth of the word. I'm eating it and I'm praying about it, saying, Lord, this right here, this is, I want this for me. I read it with my mind and it excites me, but I want it as an experience. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. So what I'm going to do right now, watch. I did this yesterday. I just sat back in a chair and went, by faith, I receive that the Holy Spirit's in me just loving me. Then watch what happens. Everybody with me? What happens is I begin to argue with the Lord. Does anybody have these? I go, Lord, I'm so unlovable. How could you love me? And then what does he say? I love you, Sam. I love you through my son, and I died for you, and I care for you. I love you more than you can conceive. Then is everybody with me still? Then I start feeling shame. I feel start dirt. Oh, Lord, I'm so unlovable. I feel arguments come up of why he shouldn't love me. I've not read enough. I've not prayed enough or whatever. And he's like, I don't love you based on that. I love you based on my grace and my son. And you know what happens when I get out of there? I'm not such an insecure, shaking, twitching freak as I was before I went in there. I come out going, so Bernie doesn't like me. I'm making these stories up. Some people get all nervous that I'm whatever. Bernie likes me, I think. Which is to say there's a certain day where Bernie doesn't like me. Or my finances go weird. Or Amy's not nice. If I come out of the place where I'm secure in the love of God, instead of responding, going, you must like me. You must like me because this is what I eat for dinner. Does anybody do this? I say, I've already eaten. Bernie, I forgive you. I love you. I'm secure already. I don't need to get that from you. I'm already secure in the love of God. Marriages, you would be transformed if you would spend time alone with God. Transformed. Because you're trying to get stuff from your wife and your husband you're supposed to be getting from God. Amen? Listen, I want to encourage you to obey and to go with the Holy Spirit who is leading you to be alone. It says that Jesus, just as the end here, Jesus went often to lonely places. There are some discipline parts about this. I think the discipline parts are you got to have a time and a place, and you got to have the word flat out. You got to have a time and a place, a location that's you and God alone. Everyone just think right now, because I just don't want to preach another sermon. Right now, think about where that place could be. Where could you go and get away from 7,000 children? Where could you go and get away from TVs? And you remember last week I talked about glories outside the door when we're praying and got to pee and needs changed and we're having our time together, me and Amy. We're going to protect it. Where could you go and protect? I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour, but you go away and you say, world, you're gone. It's me and my God right now. Everybody in this room that thinks that'd be beneficial to your life daily, say amen. Amen. You know it would be. There's a flat-out practical deal. You need to shut down. And I know what I think it needs to be. I think it needs to be the first of the day. First fruits. I don't think you should go out there with just the old funky Tamsil attitude. Boy, that Tamsil can get a... I picked the sweetest person in the room. You got to get charged and fresh and then go face that day filled and confident in the love of God. Okay? I don't know how you live without it. I know what happens. You start living from the flesh. You're mad at everything. You're angry at your life. You're so frustrated because you're not satisfied with drinking the true drink. We're irritated, angry people that are unsatisfied because we're not banqueting at the table. I want to encourage you to come to the table and receive it. There are some organic parts, which are the spirit, grace. Look, I sit down and rock. I don't know what you do. You may do this. You may do this and lay out flat on the ground. You may just sit and stand. You may walk. Some people walk when they spend time with the Lord. I don't really care. Praise God, there's no law. Just go and do it. Go and begin to open up your heart and unfurl it before the Lord and be real. Let Him develop what your private time's like. I don't care. I just want you to go meet with Him. Amen? And for you to develop a personal history and go, I know my God. I've been with Him. I know Him personally. And He has opened up the doors for you to do that. Let's all stand if we would, please. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You so much for the Word of God. I thank You for the grace of the Lord Jesus. I thank You for the love of the Father. God, You know how many traps we're in right here in this room. This is just practical discipleship 101. Lord, I pray Your people would no longer take it for granted. Take it for granted that they got the stuff to go through their day without You. Lord, I pray that we not miss the unbelievable, amazing opportunity that we have to develop a history with You. I thank You that the truth is everyone in this room that's a believer is called to the ministry. Everybody. Everyone is called as a pilgrim on this earth, an alien, a stranger, a missionary from heaven to planet earth for a season until You change the times or death comes first. We thank You, Father, that we're all called. I pray You deal with our hearts. And the truth is, we're bellying up to other meals. We're all eating. I just pray You teach us how to eat right. I pray that You set our minds straight and our hearts straight. I pray You take the mess of what that last 30 minutes was, and would You coley out of it value for the people of God? I pray for the young people in this room that they don't get religion, that they get a relationship with You. I pray, Father God, we are able to teach them the Word and good structures of the kingdom, but Lord, let it never lead them away from You. We pray, Father, that Your people would know You. And the people who know You, they do great, great exploits. So, Father, right now, in just this moment of silence, I pray as hearts are quiet before You, would You rejuvenate an energy for the inner chamber, for the quiet closet time of being alone with our God. Holy Spirit, may not one person escape the glory and the opportunity that they have to be with You. Just for a moment, if you'd pause and just allow the Lord to kindle grace in your heart. If you bring something into your mind that you need to repent of, that distracts you from this time, then just do that sweetly. Receive His mercy and forgiveness. Father, I pray that the counsel to the church in Ephesus would be given to us. They had done so many things well in Revelations 2, but He held one thing against them. They had forsaken their first love. Lord, I pray we would be a people that don't just proclaim that we know about our God. May we be able to testify that we do know our God. May we be able, Lord, to be a people who have personal relationship with You. I pray for a reviving, stirring work of God in this room, that everyone could have their own personal developed history with their God. I pray, Father, You free anyone in this room that thinks they've got to have a relationship with You like me or like so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Lord, I pray everyone could be who they are, but give them the grace to get alone, to find a place, to build an altar, and to meet with their God. Lord, we commit all this to You now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he just stir your hearts this week. I encourage all of you, go experiment. This is on-the-job training. I would imagine you might show up tomorrow morning and do this and go, wow, that was boring. Go again Tuesday. Keep going and trust Him to fire up that time. We can be a people who meet with our God and have confidence and overcome. I want to encourage you to do that. If you need help knowing how to do that further, I love to talk about that and would love to help you. Have a great week. If you need prayer for anything, there's prayers up here. Bless you and have a great week.